This is Monday morning, September 2nd, 1974, in Richmond, Virginia. The ministry is given through Brother Stephen Kong.
May we read from the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, Chapter 2. We'll read from verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh in through the windows, glancing through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over, it is gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree mellow'th her winter figs, and the vines in bloom gives forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. My dove, in the cliffs, cleft of the rock, in the covert of the precipice, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vineyard, for our vineyards are in bloom. Chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thine eyes are doves behind thy veil. Thy hair is as a flock of goats on the slopes of Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which go up from the washings, which have all borne twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples behind thy veil. Thy neck is like the tower of David, built for an armory. 1,000 bucklers hang thereon, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth his flock among the lilies. Last night, we mentioned that the Song of Songs is a song of love. The story between the virgin and her beloved. It is a pursuit after love. And the result is a full union with her beloved. And in a very real sense, this is our spiritual experience with the Lord. Of course, in the Song of Songs, it is more of the experience that is in view. So far as objective truth is concerned, the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are in union with Him in life. All that He has accomplished on the cross is ours. There is nothing you can add to it. It's all there. But when we come to subjective experience, you find that there is much more that we need to enter into experience of the Lord. Just like the children of Israel. So far as God's promise is concerned, the land flowing with milk and honey is theirs. God has given the land to them, and it is theirs. But so far as the experience goes, they have to enter in and step on every inch of the land to claim it, to appropriate it as their possessions. So, brothers and sisters, this Song of Songs is mainly telling us of our subjective experience with the Lord. And of course, the subjective is always based on the objective. Without the objective, that is, without what Christ has done for us, we can never experience Him in the Spirit. But with what Christ has done for us, we need to appropriate by the Holy Spirit all that He has done for us. And this is basically, you'll find in the Song of Songs. So when we go on, I hope that brothers and sisters will not have a kind of misunderstanding, thinking that we do not have Him. We do not have all of Him until we gradually come to know Him. In one sense, we do have Him, but in another sense, we do not. And we do need to enter into experience of our Christ. Last night we mentioned that so far as the experience of the virgin with her beloved is concerned, the first stage of that experience after she has known the forgiving love of God in Christ is a pursuing after Him for a more advanced knowledge of Him. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. To know Him, that is a passion within the heart of this virgin. There is nothing that she desires more than to know Him. She cries out that He will draw him, and then she will run after Him. And because of that, her prayer is answered. She is taken into the chambers of the king, and there you'll find the Lord begins to reveal Himself to her in a way that she has never known before. In the past, she only knew the Lord as her Savior. She only knew the forgiving love of God in Christ. She only knows salvation. But here you'll find she is brought into the king's chambers. And there the Lord begins to reveal Himself to her more than just as a Savior, but more. But as the Lord begins to reveal Himself to her, in that light, she begins to see her own self. And she begins to be dealt with by the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, this is something that for people who do not seek after the Lord, do not understand. You know, even among believers, you find that there are daughters of Jerusalem. They are believers. They have really believed in the Lord. And they are really saved. And yet they do not see there is anything beyond just getting saved. And to those who do not pursue after Christ, pursue after love, after they are saved, They do not understand that there are more dealings of God with us after we are saved. They think that after a person is saved, that's it. Everything is done. There is nothing more to be done. And we are just waiting here to go to heaven. But for people who really seek after the Lord, they know that there is much more of the Lord that they need to know. And there is much more dealings that the Lord had to do with us in our lives. The cross has to work in our lives. On the one hand, we see the cross of Calvary. There we find a work is done 2,000 years ago. Nothing can be added to that. It is finished. But on the other hand, we need to experience the working of that cross within us. And as we begin to experience the operation of the cross within us, we will discover how black we are. But this is only one side. I'm black, but I'm comely. As the cross begins to work in us, putting us to death, you find on the other side, Christ is beginning to be formed in us. He is in us, but He needs to be formed. And His beauty needs to be incorporated in us. Christ, our righteousness, needs to become the righteousnesses of the saints. And this is the process of transformation. But of course, this is only in the beginning. In other words, you find, because she seeks after the Lord begins to take her into a deeper experience with the Lord. And that deeper experience, to sum up in one word, it is to be united with the Lord in His death. And that is about the experience that she has during the first stage. After a person is saved, the first stage of our Christian experience is to learn the lessons of the cross. In the sense of a union with Christ in His death. Now, what does the cross mean to you, aside from salvation? First of all, you remember, Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified on the cross. So far as the world is concerned, I am crucified. So far as I'm concerned, the world is crucified on the cross. Because I'm a new creation. In other words, you'll find the working of the cross in our lives. So far as this matter of His death is concerned, it deals with us in the matter of the world. As you look back into your experience, you find after you're saved, and if you really pursue after the Lord in first love, invariably you'll find the finger of the Lord will begin to point to you certain things in your life that are worldly, that belong to the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And these things of the world, will take away from you the love of the Father. So in the beginning stage, you find the working of the cross in your life is in relation to the world. You begin to find God begins to deal with you in certain things of your life. Maybe certain place you go. Maybe certain things you love. Maybe certain habits you have. But you find invariably the Lord will begin to deal with you in a matter of the world. Or maybe some relationship with the world. Something may not be sinful, strictly speaking. Something may be quite legitimate. And yet you find it has become the world to you. And the cross will begin to work in that area. And in that area, you experience a union with Christ in His death. Not only in the matter of the world, you will find the Lord will begin to deal with you by the cross in the matter of your flesh. After you are saved, you think now everything is fine. You think that now you are perfect. In one sense, you are a new creation. That is true. So far as the truth is concerned, you are a new creation. And yet, so far as your experience goes, you will discover as you begin to follow the Lord in a closer walk, you begin to discover you have not changed at all. There is your flesh. And how your flesh flares up from time to time until you begin to be almost despair of yourself. You begin to wonder if you are saved at all. If I'm saved, how can it be that way? But thank God, that proves you are saved. That proves that you have a new life in you. That proves that the Holy Spirit is beginning to bring out your blackness. Is beginning to expose you under His light. And you begin to see your blackness. You begin to see your flesh and how you cry out to the Lord. Until one day the Lord shows you that you are crucified with Him. It is no longer you. It is Christ who lives in you. One day you give up. You give up trying. You give up struggling. And when you give up, you think you are finished. You are. But Christ begins in you. And you know, this is the working of the cross in your life in relation to His death. You begin to see the meaning of the cross. You begin to see it means death to you. And you rest. You rest in His death. And because you begin to know a little bit more of the meaning of the cross, you are more in union with Christ in His death. Therefore, you come to know Him a little bit more. And the expression of your life with the Lord during that period is expressed by that one expression. My beloved is mine, and I am His. Now I know for sure He is mine. And I am His too. But dear brothers and sisters, as we mentioned at the end last night, that even though this virgin has become to be united with the Lord in his death and has learned something of the meaning of the cross and has come to feel that the Lord is her special possession. And yet you find in all her spiritual pursuit, it is still herself that is the center. The Lord for me. I want the Lord. I want Him more. He is mine, and I'm His. You know, dear brothers and sisters, this is always true. A person who comes to know something of the meaning of the cross in the death aspect strange to say is always self-centered. He thinks he knows the Lord now. He thinks he has got Him now. He thinks that he is now spiritual. He thinks that now he has come to some place with the Lord. It is strange. For people who know something of the cross can become very introspective. Very self-centered. It can become a kind of deception. He will become inactive, looking within himself all the time, measuring himself with what he knows of the Lord, and find some comfort for himself. It is true. He is much more advanced than the other daughters of Jerusalem. That's true. But he has not yet come out of himself. It is true the Lord has given himself to her in a way that he has not given to others, because she seeks after the Lord. And yet, that doesn't mean that she is now fully in union with the Lord in experience. But you know, brothers and sisters, our spiritual experience is such that as you pursue after the Lord, He will give Himself in you. And you will experience Him in certain aspects. Now, this is spiritual experience. Now, do not take spiritual experience as a thing in itself. Actually, spiritual experience is experiencing Christ. But Christ is so big that you cannot experience Him all at once. And that's the reason why when you experience Christ, you experience certain aspects of Christ. And that, to some people, become a thing in itself. You know, and actually it is not a thing. It is just Christ. But in certain aspect of Christ. For instance, in the case with this virgin, it is experience Christ in His death. In union with Christ in His death. It has experienced the death aspect of the cross. But how easy it is for us to take one aspect of Christ and make it an experience as if isolated from Christ and make it something of itself. And the result will be it becomes our idol. And that is the danger of spiritual experience. Oh, brothers and sisters, you find how God in His graciousness may give certain people Himself and they experience Him in certain way, and yet they lose sight of Christ and they get hold of a thing and will not let that thing go. And the result is spiritual idolater. The Lord has to deliver us from such attitude. But anyway, you find the virgin. She has experienced the Lord in a deeper way, in the way of the cross, in the death aspect of the cross. And as she experiences such, she enters into rest. Rest to her soul. And the Lord allows her to rest for a while. In spiritual pursuit, you will find it is always a marching on, and then a stationing. Then another marching on, and another stationing. You need to experience Him. As you seek after Him, you begin to experience Him. And then you will find there will be a period of rest to consolidate what you have experienced of Him. Just like the children of Israel when they left Egypt on their way to Canaan, you find there were stations. Now if you read the book of Numbers, you find all these stations. They march and they stay, they march and they stayed. And you know, every station speaks of some experience of the Lord. So it is like that. You know, it is a going forward and it is a staying. A going forward, a resting. And this is how we go forward with the Lord. On the one hand, in view of our frailty, this is necessary. But on the other hand, after we have experienced Christ in a certain way, and we find how satisfying He is to us, in this particular area, there is always the danger of being contented with that. And refuse to move on. It is so good that you do not want to leave. Just like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, they have such a vision. And Peter said, it is good to be here. Now let's stay put. And this is always within us. You know, brothers and sisters, when the Lord gives you a spiritual experience, you find it so good. And the Lord does allow you to rest in it for a while, but it soon becomes a nest. And you do not want it to be disturbed. A spiritual lethargy will creep. But thank God, He does not allow it. You know how He often stirs our nest? How He often breaks up our nest? How He often throws us out in the air in order to lead us on? So here you'll find the second stage in the life of this virgin with the beloved. Now, in this second stage, you find it again begins with the call of the Lord. The voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh, leaping among the mountains, skipping upon the hills. In all our spiritual experience, the Lord always takes the initiative. You know, even when we considered how we come to know the Lord, how we are saved, we think that we sought after Him. But actually, we know He sought us first. Now, in the first stage of spiritual pursuit, you may think that it is the virgin who started the whole thing. Because she cries out, "Kiss, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Does the virgin really take the initiative? No. It is the love of Christ within her that constrains her to cry out in that way. In all our spiritual experiences, the Lord always takes the initiative. And here you'll find the voice of the beloved. Again, the Lord begins to come and stir the whole thing up. "Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." Now, what is the picture there? The picture there is a picture of resurrection. You have the mountains there. You have the hills there. God does not take away the mountains. God does not take away the hills. And yet you'll find he is leaping and skipping upon the mountains and the hills. In other words, it is resurrection life. The problems are still there. The difficulties are still there. But there you are, skipping and leaping upon them. It is life out. And the whole description of the calling of the Lord to the virgin is, "Rise up! Rise up! The winter is past. The rain is over. It is gone." And everything speaks of resurrection. The spring has come. Come out. Come out. Come over to the resurrection side. Brothers and sisters, the cross has two sides. There is the death side, and there is the resurrection side. You cannot come into the resurrection life side without first going through the death side of the cross. That is true. But it is also possible for people to dwell on the death side of the cross and refuse to come over to the resurrection side. Now you say, how can it be? But so far as our experience is concerned, it is very possible. When the Lord gives you some experience of union with him in his death, at first you may not like to die, but after a while, you just love it. There is nothing better than that. And you would just dwell in the cleft of the rocks, in the crevice of the precipice. You want just to hide yourself in the cross. And you find it so cozy. You don't want to come out. It becomes a bed to you. Have you met Christians who really know the Lord? Who really have experienced the cross in that side? But you find they are so passive, so negative, so inactive, almost paralyzed, always introspective, always fearful, good for nothing. All that is written upon their face, upon their life, is death, 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 death. Have you met such Christians? They think they are very deeply spiritual, but that is not too attractive. Oh, brothers and sisters, how we desire to choose our spiritual atmosphere. How we want to choose our spiritual place. We do not allow the Lord to choose for us, even in our spiritual pursuit. Are we open to the Lord and let Him choose where we should be? Let Him choose the level that we should be in. Let Him choose the experience that we shall enter in. Or do we just hold on and say, now this is it. I just want this and nothing else. How many of God's people choose their own spiritual realm? The Lord cannot move them. Cannot move them all. On the one hand, what they have had is from the Lord. And yet on the other hand, as you try to hold on to what the Lord has given you in the past and refuse to move on with Him, you find the Lord. And between you and the Lord, there is a wall. Towards the end of the first stage of her experience, you'll find she was resting in the arms of the Lord. There was such closeness, togetherness between her and the Lord. But suddenly you'll find, when the Lord calls for a new level of spiritual experience, and she refuses to go on, immediately you'll find there is a wall between her and the Lord. Now, again, I say, this is experience side, not truth side. So far as the side of the truth is concerned, there is no wall between us and the Lord. But so far as our experience goes, whenever the Lord is calling you up and you want to remain in the place where you were before, immediately there will be a wall between you and the Lord. A separation. But thank God, there is a window there. Now, if there is no window, then you are imprisoned. And thank God you'll find there is a window. He looketh in through the window, glancing through the lattice. If you really love the Lord, even though you may sometimes love and experience more than the Lord, and yet there is always a window there, you can still hear Him. You can even see Him peeping in. The Lord said, come out. Don't just stay put in yourself, in your so-called spiritual self. Come out of yourself. The dealing of the Lord is for the purpose of entering into His resurrection life. You are not to dwell in the dead side. You are not to condemn yourself all the time. Everything is wrong. There is nothing right. You are to go over to the resurrection life and see the life of the Lord that ascends. The life of the Lord that overcomes everything. The resurrection life. Oh, brothers and sisters, how beautiful is the resurrection life. It is life out of death. Everything is brought into death. And what is not of God will be buried in the tomb. But what is of God will come out of the tomb. And that is life. We have to be brought to the end of ourselves. But thank God, we know He who is in us is our life. And we begin to experience the beauty, the strength of His life. We have to move on to the resurrection side. Paul, in his own experience, oh, how he experienced the resurrection life of the Lord. He tells us in 2 Corinthians, we have the sentence of death upon us. There is no more hope. And yet, the God who raises Christ from the dead, raises Him up. How often He finds the thorn upon His flesh. Oh, how He will like that the thorn may be removed, the mountains may be removed, that He may walk through the plain. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Let the mountain remain, but leap over it. The resurrection life of the Lord. But she's not ready for that. She loves her bed too much. And her bed is a spiritual bed, so called. The bed of union with Christ in His death. She said, Lord, you may go, but come back quickly. I will not go with you. I feel very comfortable here. But you come back quickly. Because there are ravens in the mountains. Oh, there are all kinds of dangers there. And it is very safe and secure in the cleft of the rock. I would rather stay here and not move out. She thinks that the Lord would come back. But many nights she spends in her bed, hoping all the time the Lord will come back. But the Lord does not come back. Brothers and sisters, the Lord does not come back. He wants you to go out with Him. Sometimes there will develop in us a love for the nights. We need to be delivered from that. So finally she could not stand it anymore. She got up. She went out to the streets. To the Broadway, she inquired of the watchman whether they had seen her beloved. And as she was coming out and trying to find him, he was there. In other words, here you'll find the Lord does get her out. Sometimes, you know, the Lord has to leave us for a little while. In order to get us out of ourselves. But as soon as we get out of ourselves, we find Him. He's there all the time. All the time. And here you'll find this burden begins to enter into a new realm with the Lord. It is in the realm of resurrection. And she begins to experience Christ as her life. We will not be able to really experience Christ as our life until we know the death of the cross. If we are too much alive, Christ has no chance to live in us. How we are accustomed to live by our old life. Even after we are saved. Christ is in us, and He is our life, and He is here to live for us, that we may live by His life. This is the only way to live. And yet, we are too much alive in ourselves. We have to be brought into death. I am crucified. There is no good in my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this wretched man? We have to be brought into death before we can really experience Christ as our life. And to live by the life of Christ, you are on resurrection ground. And it is only when you are living on resurrection ground, that is by His life, then the beauty of the new creation begins to be manifested. And therefore, in chapter 4, you find a description of the beauty of new creation. Because she has moved on into resurrection ground, therefore, in union with Christ in His resurrection, what is the result of that? The beauty of Christ begins to be manifested. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thine eyes are doves behind thy veil. You know, there is one thing with a dove. We are told that dove's eyes are very single. In other words, they can see one thing only at a time. They are not double vision. And here you'll find the Lord said, thy eyes are as doves. Why? Because here you'll find how single-minded, how single-hearted, how single-eyed she is to the Lord. She just sees the Lord. She just sees the Lord as her life. But it is behind the veil. In other words, it is covered. It is hidden from the eyes of the world. Some people who love the Lord, and yet their love for the Lord can be seen by everybody. Because they always advertise it. But when you come to really know the Lord, you find there is a singleness to the Lord, but it is somewhat hidden behind the veil. You do not make a thing out of it. It is between you and the Lord. Thy hair is as a flock of goats on the slopes of Mount. In other words, there is abundant of hairs. And hair in the scripture always speaks of obedience. How she is now covered before the Lord. How she is now taking the Lord as her authority. There is a great abundance of obedience to the Lord. And because of her obedience to the Lord, there is strength. Just like Samson, when his hair was long, he had strength. Dedication to the Lord. Submission to the authority of Christ. Under the covering of the headship of Christ means spiritual strength. Thy teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which go up from the washings, which have all born twins, and none is barren among them. That means her spiritual capacity for the Lord is great. You see, teeth are used to chew food. And if you have perfect teeth, and they're all in twins, that is to say the upper and the lower part, they just fit, then you can chew things very well. If one part is missing, if it's not twin, you know, then when you chew the food, it will be a little bit difficult. So here you'll find she has not only a spiritual appetite for the Lord, but she has the spiritual capacity for the Lord. Not like babes that can only digest milk, but now she has the capacity, ability to chew solid. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Because of her knowledge of the Lord, in such a living way, she has a testimony, a word to give to the Lord, for the Lord, to His people. And as a piece of pomegranate are thy temples behind thy veil. You see, when I came to this country, I was surprised that people in this country do not know what pomegranate is. I was told some people have never seen a pomegranate. Now, in the East, pomegranate is a very common fruit. I don't know if you have ever seen a pomegranate. A pomegranate is a kind of fruit, you know, with a hard shell. But when you break the shell actually is very thin. When you break it open, you find it is full of seeds. And every seed is covered with meat, red, juicy and red. So when you cut a pomegranate, you find it is just full of beauty, full of juice, full of seed. Very fruitful, very fruitful. It is beautiful to look at. And thy cheek as a piece of pomegranate, it is cut. You know, thy temple. Behind thy veil. Temple in the scripture always speaks of that which reveals the inward strength, inward life. See, like a pomegranate, it is cut. In other words, there is such abundant life within. It's like a piece of pomegranate. But it is behind the veil. Again, when a person really is filled with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is abundant, he never make a show of himself. It is always, as it were, hidden behind the veil. Thy neck is like a tower of David, built for an armory. 1,000 bucklers hang thereon, all shields of mighty men. That neck speaks of our will, a will that is fully surrendered to the Lord. It becomes a tower of David. And here you find the power of a yielded will to God. Thy two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. In other words, there is such abundance of life that she's able to share with other people, to feed the young. So here you'll find is a description of the beauty of the new creation. And what is new creation? New creation is nothing but the life of Christ in you. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. It is only Christ in you that is the new creation. So when you come into a union with Christ in His resurrection, then you will find the beauty of the new creation begins to be manifested. Oh, brothers and sisters, that Christ may be seen. The only way for Christ to be seen in our lives is when we live on the resurrection ground with Christ. That is the only way. But this is not the end of this stage of experience. You'll find during this stage of experience, after she has gone over to the resurrection side of the cross, then the Lord begins to call her to ascension. The Lord begins to call her into the heavenlies. Now He is to ascend up and to look down. As our brother mentioned during the conference, not look up, but look down. It depends on where you are. So here you'll find she is called into a union with Christ in His ascension. Now she has taken her position with Christ in the heavenlies. As Paul said, we have been raised with Him, and we are now seated together with Him in the heavenlies. And from that heavenly position, she enters into victory over the enemies. So, brothers and sisters, you find it is not only that we, by the grace of God, we come into experience of His death, we come into experience of His resurrection, we also come into experience His ascension. In His death, we die to the world. We die to the flesh. We die to ourselves. In His resurrection, we enter into His life, His abundant life. And in ascension, we come into His heavenly power to overcome all our enemies. And brothers and sisters, when a virgin has come into such union, he begins to bear fruit. Not only spices, but also fruits. You find her life begins to be solidified, built up, gradually built up in Christ Jesus. And during this stage, the expression to cover this stage is, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. In other words, now she is beginning to come out of herself. She is beginning to come out on the side of the Lord. I am my beloved. She is now the center. Of course, He is also mine. But I am His first and foremost. I am. Of course, when she declares this, actually, it was at the time when she fails. Just like when she declared, my beloved is mine and I am his, at the time when she really failed the Lord. But you know, when we fail the Lord, this is the time that really we can look back and see where we stand. So that's why you find all these expressions are given not at the time of her spiritual normalcy, but all are given when she is abnormal. Because that's the time you look back and begin to realize where you stand. I think probably we will just stay here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee because Thou art always going on and Thou art calling us to go on with Thee. O Lord, we praise and thank Thee because Thou dost desire that we should be united with Thee in Thy death, in Thy resurrection, and in Thy ascension. Oh, we do praise and thank Thee, Thy death, Thy resurrection, ascension are not just some objective truth for us to contemplate, but Thy death, Thy resurrection, and Thy ascension are for us the basis of our experience of Thee. Oh Lord, we pray that we may enter into all that Thou art, yes, and into all that Thou hast done for us, yes, in a very real and living way. Lead us on, O Lord, yes, until Thy purpose is fulfilled. Yes. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.